2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 down through 7, verse 20 is our text. You know, during the ministry of Elisha in the Old Testament, King Ben-Hadad and his army had surrounded the city and had caused such a famine to take place in the city that the people were starving to death, literally. And, you know, there's been times when we've been maybe hungry, you've missed a meal or maybe two, but nothing like this. They were starving to the point where they were paying huge prices for the head of a donkey. And an enormous amount for just some bird poo to eat. Can you imagine being that hungry? And then to the point where they were actually eating their own children. Just revolting. And yet they were starving hungry. And in that situation, God caused Elisha to say, tomorrow about this time, there will be so much food to eat that it'll be cheap. And the man, the servant of the king, laughed, mocked God and said, that couldn't possibly happen unless God somehow opened the windows of heaven and threw it out of heaven to us. Never wise to mock God. He got himself in major trauma because of it. But as a result of this, we see, I want us to focus our thoughts this morning on the good news that was discovered by the four lepers. The good news that was discovered by the four lepers. And I see a parallel here between the good news they got and the good news that we have that we need to share to the world. And I'll tell you right up front, this passage here is not talking about missions. But there's a parallel here that we can apply that I believe is helpful to us in understanding. Sometimes, you know, Jesus, many times through his ministry, he used stories. He told all kinds of stories to help people understand applications for practical life. And this really what we're going to do this morning is we're going to use this story as an application to help us to understand how to understand our need for sharing the message of the good news that we have. And so as we look at that this morning, I see here four actions that we must take regarding the good news that God has given to us. The first action that these lepers took, and we see the lepers first mentioned there in chapter 7 and verse number 3, and the four lepers there were at the entering into the gate of the city. And the first action that they took is they acquired the good news themselves. They acquired the good news themselves. That's a very important truth. And we saw here that these four lepers are sitting there at the entering of the gate. Now, think with me. Some of you may not be familiar, but why were the lepers sitting at the outside of the gate? Well, lepers were outcasts. If you got leprosy, you were expelled from this camp. You couldn't live in with your family anymore. You couldn't live at home anymore. You were expelled from them because it was contagious, and they didn't want to get it, and they didn't want to be around you. And it was a terrible, terrible thing. I mean, can you imagine if one day all of a sudden you discover you got leprosy? That means there was no cure for leprosy. For the rest of your life, you would be expelled from home. You would be expelled from the city. You would have to live outside the city with the dogs. You'd have to live out there begging for food, begging for a few crumbs that the family would throw over the wall or throw off to you because they couldn't come near you. And you'd be hungry. It would be a miserable life. And now the city's been besieged, and the people inside are starving to the point where they're eating their own children. These poor lepers, can you imagine? Nobody's throwing them any breadcrumbs anymore. They were probably starving to the nth degree because the people inside were caring for themselves with what little tiny bit of scraps they had to stay alive. These lepers were desperate. And they came to the point where they said, what's the use? If we go in the city, we'll starve to death, just like we're starving to death out here. If we give ourselves over to the Syrians, they might make us their slaves. And they feed their slaves. We might live. There's a chance. If they kill us, well, at least we don't have to starve to death. We'll be done quickly. And so they said, let's do that. So in the twilight, in the evening, they decided to do this. Now, God caused the Syrian army to hear a great noise. Lepers didn't know that. The people in the city didn't know that. But the Syrian army that were surrounding the city, they hear this great noise. It sounded like chariot horses and the armies approaching, and they were terrified. It was twilight. The sun had just gone down. It was just getting dark. They couldn't see, but they could hear the sound of it. They said, certainly, that's what's happened. The Egyptian armies and the other armies that they have hired are coming upon us. We're going to be destroyed. Run for your life. And they all just took off and fled. They didn't get on their horses. They didn't get on their donkeys. They just left everything and ran for their lives. And they were so scared that God caused this noise to apparently sound like it's getting closer and closer, because as they were running toward the Jordan to get across the Jordan River and to get over so they can escape and go up the other side of the Jordan into Syria, they kept throwing away more stuff. You know, some of them had grabbed some of their precious things and were running along with their pots and pans and their special, and they said, oh, this is too heavy. Get out of here. And throw it down. And they were throwing down their clothes. They were throwing everything that would slow them down, and ran for their lives. And the lepers, nobody knew this. Nobody knew this. So the lepers, they come upon the city. And they're on the camp of the Syrians. They're looking to try to, you know, what are we going to say? How are we going to get in there? And they come up there and they don't see anybody. There's nobody around. And this great news that the Syrians had fled was unknown to anyone yet. They didn't know that. It was great news because the people inside were starving. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we have even greater news right here in the Scriptures. That Jesus Christ came to this earth and died upon the cross and paid for our sin to deliver us from an eternal judgment of God. We have great news that God will forgive us if we'll trust Him as our Savior, and He'll give us a home in heaven, and we have eternal life and forgiveness with God, the Creator of the universe. That is the awesome, great news. We have that great news. Just like these lepers were about to discover this great news in their situation, ours is even greater. And the Lord had worked in these lepers' hearts. They were helpless and desperate. And so they present themselves. They go there without delay. It says that they went and they didn't delay at all. They went right in the middle of the night. It's dark. Probably not the best time to be sneaking up on the camp. You know, you stop and think about that. You know, you can't see so well in the dark. And the soldiers are standing guard. Who's that coming? Oh, we're just some lepers. Oh, yeah. They might be just shot right on the spot for sneaking up on them. But they went anyway because they were determined. They were going to give themselves up. And they get there and they discover that the camp was deserted. The tents were empty. There were no soldiers anywhere. The horses were there. The donkeys were there. Everything was there. But people, they were gone. And they discovered this, and they ate to their full. They went into one tent. I mean, these guys are starving, hungry. They went in their first tent, and there's food everywhere, and they just wolfing it down. Now, you shouldn't do that after you've been starving, hungry. They probably had a terrible, terrible gut ache later on. But that's another point. They ate until they're full. And then they said, look at all this gold and the silver. I don't know. I never could figure out why the armies would always take a lot of their riches with them when they're out to battle. Maybe they felt like it was good luck or something. I'm not sure. But they would often have their wealth and their gold and their silver with them. Sometimes it may have been the gold and silver that they put on the harnesses of their horses and the various things. I don't know, but there's gold. So they've taken all this stuff and they said, what can we do with this? Let's hide it. All right. So they went back to their little hiding places and they tucked it away and came back, got some more. Oh, look at, there's more food. Oh, I'm so full. I can't eat anymore. All right. Well, let's take some and hide it. And they took some of the food and hide it and take more gold, more. Some, look at all these coats. Oh, wow. What a fancy garment. Let's take that too. And they keep back and forth, hiding it, stashing it. And as they did that, they started realizing what was happening. You know, they realized that they had blessings that their family didn't have. You know, as sinners, we are all doomed to God's judgment in hell. We know that. And by believing the fact that of Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection, we can be fully satisfied. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have peace with God. You can have joy in your heart because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That is a treasure that is more valuable than anything else in this entire world. To know that God has forgiven me and I've got a home in heaven with Him and I never have to go to hell. That is wonderful news. And they were full and satisfied in their own physical treasures, but we have far more. Not only has God forgiven us, washed us clean, given us a home in heaven, but there in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, He says that we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. An inheritance. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 8. We are heirs with Him, the Son of God. Everything that belongs to Him belongs to us. We are wealthy, spiritually wealthy, for all eternity because of our faith in Christ. If you know Jesus as your Savior, all of that is yours. And that is the greatest news that there possibly could be. And these four lepers, they had made a great discovery that was wonderful for them physically, but we have an even greater one if you've come to know Jesus Christ your Savior. You know, my friend, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ your Savior, that is the greatest need in your life. Because Jesus Christ can satisfy all of your spiritual need forever and give you peace in your heart and change your life for His glory. But then the second action I see here that these lepers took is that they admitted their fault in hiding the good news. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, "And they said one to another, why do we do not well? This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household." You know, that verse ought to stick out in their mind. You might want to even highlight. I've underlined some of the verse. We do not well. We do not well. They recognize that we do not well to be silent. They knew that their families back in the city were starving to death. Some of these men may have had wives and children back in the city that they couldn't get close to anymore because of their leprosy, but they still loved them. And their families were starving to death. And they said, we have got more than we can possibly eat. We are full. We've stored up all kinds of gold and silver and garments. We're rich. We do not well. And you know, there is a truth and a principle in that. They admitted their fault. It was wrong for them to keep quiet when they had the good news that could help others. We ask ourselves a very important question. Is it right for you to know God's forgiveness and the way to heaven and not share that good news with anybody else? Is that right? No, it's not. We know it's not. Is that not what others need? Yes. They need the gospel. There are multitudes in our surrounding suburbs. Yesterday as we were driving down the freeway, we looked across, you know, there was one peak there up just near Clarkson there. You can look over all of Clarkson. You can see it's a high peak. You can see the whole area. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes. Most of them don't know Jesus. They need to hear. We've got good news that can save them from an eternal judgment. They need to hear. We've got the news. We need to share. Did not Jesus command us to do so? He said there in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just like our little chorus. Praise God, He sent His Son to die for everyone. This message I must tell. If not, I do not well. Since billions do not know, then surely I must go share the gospel everywhere. That is true for every single one of us. If you know Jesus, you have a message the world needs to hear. And these lepers came to the realization that they had a message that their families needed to hear. They noticed there that they feared the punishment of their silence. They could see that they said, God's going to bring some judgment upon us. Look at it. He said, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They said, even if we wait until morning, He said, we're going to go right now in the middle of the night. We're not going to wait even until morning. They could have very easily said, well, you know, it's dark out here, we're lepers. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, leprosy is a terrible disease. It ate away at their fingers and their ears and their nose and their toes and their feet, and eventually it just started rotting off their limbs and destroyed them physically. It was a terrible disease. And these lepers probably were not able to walk very good. They were probably maimed, depending on how long they had had the leprosy. They were in a miserable condition. But they said, we can't wait until the morning light. Our families are starving. And if they don't hear soon, every moment that we wait, there may be another one that will die of starvation in the city. We've got to tell them the good news. They said, we cannot wait. We've got to do it immediately. Mischief will fall upon us. Some kind of punishment will come upon us. You know, the prophet Ezekiel said something very similar. As God warned him to tell the people of their spiritual danger. I mentioned this verse on Wednesday night, but Ezekiel chapter 3 and verses 17 to 19 tell us there that the watchman was to warn the people, and if he warned them, that the blood was on their hands. But if he didn't warn them, the blood was on his hands. We must warn the lost. It's our responsibility. God has given us that duty. It wasn't an option. He didn't close his ministry before he went to heaven. And Jesus didn't say, well, you know, if you get any spare time, it'd be a good idea to maybe tell somebody about the gospel. That's not what he put. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It was a command. And it's not just to the preachers. You see in the book of Acts chapter 8 that when the Christians spread because of the persecution, every one of them went and took the gospel with them. It says that they spread the gospel with them. It wasn't just the preachers. It's you and me, all of us working together. If you know the truth, you have a message to tell someone. You might say, well, who am I? I don't know much. I don't know much about the Bible, and how can I explain much? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior and you know that you have, then you know how you did and you know how to tell what you did to somebody else. It's not that complicated. It's not that complicated. Oh, you might not know all the fancy verses that would help. But if you came to a friend or a loved one and said, Jesus Christ has come into my life and saved my soul and given me peace, and I know for sure because Jesus died for me and I trusted him that I'm going to go to heaven one day and I got a home in heaven. You can tell that. That's not that difficult. That's not that hard. And these lepers, they could have, you know, they were just ordinary old lepers. And yet they said, we're going to go tell what has happened to us. The Apostle Paul felt the same way. And I believe he was probably quoting from Ezekiel there, when he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, he said, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel, all the counsel of God. What a statement. I mean, if Paul hadn't written that under inspiration of the Spirit of God, I'd say, Paul, are you sure? I mean, could I say that? Absolutely not. I would never be bold enough to say, I have told everybody in our community about the gospel of Christ. I can't do that. I'm trying. I'm reaching out. But I couldn't possibly say I've told them all. I haven't told them all. But Paul here, he recognized that he said, their blood will be upon my hand if I don't share that with them. Now, I'm not saying that that all of the people in the community are your responsibility, but every single one of us have family members, brothers and sisters, children that do not know Christ, you've got the message. Your neighbors, your friends, you have a message they need to hear. And God holds us accountable for telling what we know. Even in a legal situation, we know that if a person knows facts and they don't tell those facts, they can get in big trouble for keeping the facts hidden. Because you are responsible for revealing what you know. And God wants us to tell. Then the third action we see here of these lepers is they accepted the duty to share the good news. They could have made all kinds of excuses. I mean, it would have been easy. They could have said, well, we're only lepers. Well, you know, and we're outcasts. And besides that, we're not healthy. And nobody wants to be around us. They shun us. They see us and say, oh, get away, leper. I don't want to be around you. And I mean, they could have made that excuse. They could have said, well, maybe people won't believe the good news. If we go back to the city, they might say we're lying. And they did. They didn't believe it at first. And so they could have made that excuse. They could have said, well, you know, that they said, well, if we tell them, we'll have to share. And we've got all this to ourselves. The whole camp of the Syrians, all ours. We are rich, 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 rich. We've got it all. But if we tell them, we're going to have to share it. And, you know, they could have made all kinds of excuses. The devil wants us to make excuses. The devil wants us to think of all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't share the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. The devil's going to tell you these kind of things. He's going to say it's a waste of time. He's going to say they don't want to hear it anyway. And they won't listen even if you tell them. And I just don't know what to say. And besides that, they might even laugh at me. Those are all the excuses. Well, not all of them. There's lots more. He'll come up with all kinds of excuses. But those are some of the excuses the devil's going to throw at you if you determine to tell your family and friends about Jesus. You're going to think, well, it's a waste of time. They're not going to listen. You know, sometimes I'll be honest. When I go out knocking on doors, and so many people, you know, sometimes it's about half and half. About half of the people we meet will take a track, and the other half tell us to go away. Sometimes it's like almost all of them say, no, 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 no. It's like, oh boy, one of those days again, you know. And you think, why bother? Well, the reason to why bother is because some of you are here today because we bothered. All right? We knocked on your door. I remember the day I knocked on Sarah's door. I remember the day I knocked on Elizabeth's door. I remember the days that I talked to Irene. I remember the days that I met different people that had come. Is it worth it? What's the value of one soul? It's worth it. Yes, many may say no. But that's not the point. The point is, we have a message they need to hear. We need to share the Word of God with them. And don't let the devil get us into making excuses. They're starving for the truth. They don't know what they're hungry for. You know, your loved ones and your children and your neighbors, they don't know that they are just starving for a relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know that. They think, God, Jesus, we don't want anything to do with that. Leave us alone. They don't know that's the answer, but they're starving for something down inside. They're empty. They're hurting. They're troubled. Their marriages are falling apart. They're full of turmoil. They're sad. They don't know what the answer to life is. They don't know, but the answer is in Jesus. But they don't even realize it. And you can tell them. And you can share it with them. These lepers accepted their duty to share the good news. And they could have easily decided to wait till morning, but they didn't. They went right then in the middle of the night. And they went to the city to share the message that they had heard. Right then in the middle of the night. Immediately. You know, you think about our world. I just checked this week. According to statistics, they say that there are over 7.7 billion people in our world today. And every single minute, 24 hours a day, an average of 105 people die and enter into eternity. And of those 105 people a minute that die, we all know, most of them don't know Jesus. Most of them don't know Jesus. Now just think about that. 105 people. I mean, even if half of them were Christians, which probably isn't true, that'd mean 50 people a minute are dying and going to hell. Someone needs to tell them. Someone needs to share the gospel with them. They need to hear. 2,000 years ago, Jesus compared sharing the gospel to a harvest field. And he said, in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 2, therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into his harvest. He said we need to be praying to God, God, please raise up laborers, even in our own church, that would go into the world and preach the gospel, tell them about Jesus. But you know the truth of the matter is, it is very difficult to pray, God, would you please send one, somebody to tell the lost, but don't send me, I'm not going. That's hypocritical to do that. It is totally opposite of what we ought to do to pray, God, send somebody else, but please don't send me. We need to first of all volunteer and say, God, help me to do what I can, and then please send more. Help me to do what I can, and then please send others. The fourth action that these lepers took is they acted upon and they shared the good news. They went back to Samaria. Now, we don't know exactly how far the camp of the Syrians was from the actual city. It may not have been super close. Didn't really need to be right next to the wall. There was no reason for that. They just had to guard the gates and guard the city so that nobody could come in or go out. And so they just guarded all the way around the city. They had their camp all spread around there. There's soldiers guarding, making sure nobody can come in, nobody can go out. And they're going to starve them to death. And they were doing a good job of it. But these lepers were out there in the camp. And now they said, we've got to go tell. And in the middle of the night, it's black dark out. And the lepers are stumbling along with their stubby little feet and hands. And they're going back to the city. They said, we're going to go tell. We're going to go tell. And they returned to tell the good news. Jesus said that we must share the gospel at home and then to the rest of the world. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, Jesus spoke these, just some of the last words he said to his disciples before he left. He says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's home, and in Judea, that's the next province over, and in Samaria, Judea is their province, and in Samaria is the next province over, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. He says, start at home, and then spread out a little further, and spread out a little further, and then go into the outreaches of the world. And you know, folks, the hardest place to start, I'll be honest, is at home. Some of the hardest people to share the gospel with are your children, and your neighbors, and your aunts and uncles, and your parents, and the people around you. That's some of the hardest, because they know you very well. And you're afraid that they're going to reject, or hurt you, or say something, or break off friendship with you. And it hurts. It's hard. But he said, start at home, and then spread out to those around you. Get your neighbors. Spread out around you into our state. Spread out around you into the uttermost part of the world. And God wants us to do as these lepers did, to go and to tell the good news. And the lepers told the porters at the gates. The porter is the gatekeeper. They would have sentries at the gates of all the city, guarding, making sure that there wasn't any problems coming. And they were guarding, make sure the enemy wasn't going to try to sneak in and break in at night, because the enemy was really after the city. And so they told the porters. And you can imagine these lepers come up, and the sentry says, hey, ho, who's there? Oh, we're just the old lepers out here. Oh, you old dirty lepers. What do you want? What do you want? It's the middle of the night. Oh, we got good news. What do you mean good news? The camp of the Syrian, we just came back from the camp of the Syrian, and it was empty. There's nobody there. And we ate, and we ate, and we ate, and look at all this. Look at this food we got. It was great. We were stuffed full. It was awesome. And the porter says, quick, go tell the other porters. And they tell the other porters. And they said, we better go tell the king. And they ran to the king's house, and they tell the porters at the king's house, and tell them, the gatekeepers, and tell the king, the lepers outside the city, say that they've got food, they're full, they've had all this food, and there's so much there, and the Syrians are gone. And they tell the king the good news. Now the king questioned it, as a good king would. He'd say, it's just a trap, it's just a trick. But they sent out spies to check it out, and sure enough, it was true. And it was just like God said. These lepers told the first persons they saw. They spread the news to the next ones. They spread the news to the next ones until the city knew. And that is exactly what God wants us to do. If God can use unlikely people like four lepers, then God can use you and me. God's not looking for geniuses. God's not looking for talent. He's looking for volunteers. And if you will volunteer, God will use you. Just like these lepers, God used them in a mighty way. God just wants someone to explain the gospel to our loved ones. And there's no one that can do a better job of explaining the gospel to your loved ones, your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, your children, than you. Because they respect you, they know you, and if you can show them, God has changed my life. And it has happened because Jesus Christ has come to live in me. And He's given me a peace with God and a home in heaven. And I want you to have that message as well. I want you to have that as well. You can do that. We can. God wants us to share the message with those around us and to tell our community. And then He may be even calling some of you to go into the outreaches of the world and tell the untold millions of Jesus' love. Someone needs to go. Some of you young people. Some of you middle-aged. God may speak to your heart and say, you know, you could do that. You need to do that. That's the need. There's people all over the world that are hungry for the gospel. And you know, it's a blessing to go to places where the people will line up to hear the gospel. I'll never forget in Papua New Guinea. We would take tracks, and when we'd ride in our vehicles, we'd be driving down the road, and you'd come to an area where there were people, you'd start throwing tracks out the window, and the people would run. The thing that was the most dangerous about it is we were afraid they'd run in front of us to get these tracks. They grabbed them. Everybody wanted them. They'd fight over them. They wanted the gospel messages, and they would read it. And you'd come back down through the next time and throw some different ones, and they're all running to get it. Not just the kids, the adults too. They are wanting it. You can go to the marketplace and hand them out. You just stand there in the marketplace and just pass them out one right after another. The people are hungry for the gospel. Now you try that in Perth here and it doesn't happen that way. Alright? Now I know there's a few guys down in this Perth city that try to pass out things and most people ignore them. But they do pass out stuff and they're passing out good truths, and I praise the Lord for that. But, you know, the thing of it is, there are people in our world that are hungry for the gospel. Who's going to go and tell them? Will you? We could. Some of you young people need to just say, God, if that's what you want me to do, I will go. I will go, if that's what you want. Volunteering, it does not hurt. Because if you volunteer and God says, no, I got other plans for you. You're going to stay right here. I got some plans for you. But volunteering is good. And as parents, you need to be happy if your children volunteer. You know, sadly, there are so many parents that say, oh, I don't want my kids to go to the mission field. I wouldn't want them to live like that. I want them home close so I can see my grandkitties and all that. Let's not be selfish. Let's share the gospel with the world. And the greatest thing in the whole world is to have our children preaching the gospel to others. That'll make you happier than ever having your grandkids around you. I'd far rather have children that were preaching the word and telling others of Christ than to have them sitting on my lap giving me hugs and kisses. It's far better to do something that's eternal. Folks, we need to have our eyes turned to that which is eternal. Just like in the city of Samaria, the people in Samaria were starving to death. The lepers had good news that the city needed to hear. They could have kept it themselves, but they didn't. In the middle of the night, they went and said, we've got good news! We've got good news! There's food! They told the people, saved the city, and was blessed of God. Now folks, if you know Jesus is your Savior, you can do that. It doesn't need a Bible college education to do that. I'm not belittling education. That's good. I'm glad for all the education I have. I've got several years of Bible training, and I'm glad for it. And it's a blessing to me. But it's not required to tell the neighbor about Jesus. It's not required to tell your children about Jesus. If you know Jesus, you can tell them what you know. And the challenge I want to leave you here this morning is this. I've got a stack of tracts here in the front. I'm not asking you to take the whole stack. I challenge each of you this morning to take five of these tracts. Five. and gives them out this week. Now, don't just stick them all in the neighbor's letter boxes. If you stick four of them in the letter boxes, at least keep one that you're going to determine, God help me, I'm going to give it to a person and ask them to read it. You say, oh, that takes courage. God will give you the courage because he told you to do it. And better yet, take all five of them and give them to people. But if you don't have the courage to do that, at least put four of them in letter boxes and take one and give it to someone. A loved one, a friend, somebody at the store, someone you meet in the street. But hand them the paper and just say, this paper will tell you from the Bible how you can know for sure you go to heaven. That's all you got to say. And if they want to talk to you about it and want you to explain it to them, then just hold it in front of them and read it to them. All right? If you don't have it memorized, and most of us don't, read it to them. Explain what you do know about it. Invite them to church. You can do it. But I'm challenging you today. If every one of you took five of these and passed them out this week, it would make a huge difference. God can use that. You can do it. That's not that difficult. Let's do what God wants us to do. But you know, some of you may be here today without Jesus as your Savior. If you've never asked Christ to forgive your sins and wash you clean, you don't know the good news. You're one of those starving people on the inside of the city that are still waiting for the good news. You need to accept it. The news is out. Jesus has died for you. And he's offering you eternal life. Don't turn it down. Don't walk away from that. Accept it. Receive it. Ask him to save your soul and give you eternal life. God will bless you if you will.